All right, we are plugged in, ready to go, and it's 28th of August 2024. It's the Kres Files podcast with Adam. Wendy Daniel, author and researcher, is plugging in with me tonight on the podcast for a chat to talk about her work, her tours, books, all of this, and probably some of the, you know, the listeners out there will be familiar with Wendy's work. I did see that it was promoted over on the Dave O'Neig's channel on Telegram, which was good. So there were a lot of people sort of, and then I shared it on our Telegram channel. Obviously, you know, Telegram and X, you know, BitChute, these things, and Gab were on. Telegram be having a great chat group over there for the Kres Files chat if anyone wants to jump over there. But those guys are amazing and helping us out a lot here to share information. But two are going on at the moment, so we're just gonna plug in tonight to chat about Wendy's work moving forward, and always plenty to discuss, believe me. So it will be a great podcast tonight. I will just say, please, folks, get over to kresfiles.com. That's my main website. And when you do get these podcasts out on the RSS feed, because I've lost count really where it goes, and all overseas, and there's so many podcasting platforms now that basically suck the podcasts into their feeds, and, you know, so I wouldn't know. And if you do get them and you hear these podcasts, just jump back to kresfiles.com because that's the source of the podcast, and you'll get information that I tag in with the podcast description, you know, how to contact the guests, how to get books, where to get them, all this kind of stuff, and where you can find out where they are and everything. So jump back to there, because and there's also, you can play them on the website and download them from there as well. And don't forget to contact me and let us know what you think, or if you want to contact a guest and you're not sure, just let us know and I'll put you in contact with them. If you do alternative media as well, not just here in Australia but around, and you're doing podcasts and you would like to speak to my guests that I have on, let us know as well, and I'll put you in contact with them so you can check. You might as well check podcasting, and this is a great way to get information out. And we're living in an age where it's tightening immensely with censorship and everything. But that's nothing to fear. It just means that we need to be more intense and move forward and get more information out. It means we're doing something right.
Yes.
when the system starts to become nasty and show their fangs and starts to, you know, trying to censor us like they're doing now. We know with the Telegram founder, they got him over there in France, and apparently Macron invited him over for some dinner, and now they've arrested him. So I don't know what's happening there, but that's like being stranded on a highway in the rain and strolling on up into Dracula's castle, because that's, you know, yeah, Macron reminds me of Dracula, and I wouldn't go anywhere near that guy and I wouldn't trust him. But we'll know more what's happening there. But of course, many platforms, you know, and of course, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook has come out and admitted today or yesterday that he has been censoring COVID information and vaccine information and all of this on his platform. He probably knows that the Trump people are going to get through, so he's coming out now. So they have been censoring a lot, and especially in Australia. So doing this kind of podcast is very important. And if you want to support me, please click on one of the new banners on the website, and we have a members over on Buy Me a Coffee. $8 Australian a month, and I'm on there every night that I'm on, not on with my guests, just breaking down all the latest, and it's a great members area over there. I don't sell anything or have any affiliates or anything, so the best way to keep this kind of media going is a membership. So try it out, see what you think, and contact me through the website. And it is really incredible time. So Wendy, I've not had you on the podcast obviously before, and I don't have access to your books now, so what I'll do is just get you to, why don't we rewind a little bit and get and tell us about who you are, and bring us through, like walk us through. You got the floor here, don't
right.
mind me.
Awesome.
Walk us through a bit about your books and what's happening, and then we'll lead us up to now, to the tour. And,
yes.
And you're on
yes.
tour in Australia, up the North Coast, and what's happening there. So let yeah. our listeners know.
Awesome. Yes, I'm Wendy Daniel, like you said, and a few people might know me. And I I don't have any medical background, but health maybe, but not medical. And 15 years ago, when my first grandchild was born, I decided, my lovely son and his wife were just busy sort of surviving with life and with the first child on the way. And I thought at that time, I'd started to get a little bit suspicious of the cancer industry, if you like, and I thought, I think I'll research vaccines. And this is, you know, 15 years ago, and I'll just see what this is about. I had vaccinated both sons, you know, without a second thought back years ago. I was a little bit, I just wanted to learn a bit more. Anyway, I went to the doctor's office and I didn't see a doctor. I picked up a couple of leaflets on vaccines, and I was expecting to find the stats and the graphs and the, you know, the research and all of this sort of thing that was interpreted for me, but proving that what these things do and all of this sort of thing. And I looked at this little brochure, and it said, you know, it had a few sentences in it, and basically it said, oh, safe and effective, and, you know, come and do them at these times sort of thing. And I thought, oh wow, that's really interesting, isn't it? There is no information. And and then fortunately I came across, because the censorship, it wasn't quite as fierce back then, and I came across a wonderful book by a man called Neil Z. Miller, who does exactly that. He summarizes research that is contrary to the whole vaccine narrative, and sort of packages into a book. And it took me about half an hour reading that book. I knew when I saw that he had the research papers listed that this was where the truth was of it. And so since then, yes, so it took me about an hour to wipe off the necessity for this little baby to have any of the childhood infections and any of those vaccines for any of those, because in my generation, I'm a child of the 50s, we'd had all of those infections in school. And this is something that young mums don't often realize, this was very normal for us to have these, and we all survived and everything. The polio thing, there's been so much fear that's generated over this, especially in my generation, that took me about a weekend to dismiss that as no, we don't need that either. So basically the opinion that I came to within a couple of days was, we don't need any of this. It's not worth the risk. And then about 8 years ago, I made the decision to write a book about it. It was needed. I felt that there was a need for something that was clear and simple and concise that you could hand over to somebody. And as many people know, very often people bring up, oh, smallpox and polio and these old diseases, and which were sometimes we don't know what these things were, but anyway, there's a story behind them all. It's a very difficult topic to introduce to anybody who's possibly reluctant to hear it, shall we say. So that was the vaccines, myths and facts. And for somebody who hasn't seen it, I'll send the pictures through to you. Actually, it's got a little baby with a book and some specs on, so it's got a cute little cover on it. And and that was 8 years ago, I'm now up to the fourth edition. And it's got bigger and bigger, and there's an avalanche of research now, showing that vaccines are neither safe nor effective, and that they do an enormous amount of harm in a nutshell. So my as a hallmark of the books, they all have big text, so they're really easy to read. They're nice and simple enough for a 10-year-old to understand them. There's no jargon or anything like this. And the vaccine book has lots of pictures and graphs and stats, the sort of thing that I was expecting way back in the day. Recently, let's say in the last couple of years, I realized that people who had the COVID things really needed help to get over that. At first, I started writing about, you know, all the things that were wrong about the COVID thing, but in a way, it was too late. It was too late to warn people. The first book is a warning. And then I did a book called Detox After COVID and Thrive. And that one just came out a few weeks ago, really, or a couple of months now. And that is a very simple book, big text, the same, few pictures, but a simpler book all round. And that is a complete sort of roadmap for people of how they get over how they can recover from having the jabs. There are no guarantees, but this is, I don't know if you want to ask any questions. I feel as if I'm going on and on here.
No, but, you're right.
Simple things that people can do themselves to detox from COVID. So one is the warning and one is the how, what now, you know, now what? That's the COVID one. And that one gives you people some things they can do themselves, when they need a practitioner to help them, how to find a good practitioner. And that's probably more likely to be a naturopath or a homeopath or mixed, some many people are both of those, rather than it'll be quite a rare doctor that is able to help you with this, a real holistic doctor. There are a few, but not very many. I've got a list of supplements and things that people might have heard about that they can ask their practitioner about in relation to this whole situation. We've had things like natokinase that we'd never heard of before that are more commonly spoken about now. And I've got 9 websites which are at the leading edge of COVID recovery research and, you know, after the things. And in fact, you know, because some people did seem to be really ill after the whatever it was, COVID itself, whatever that might have been. There's a lot we don't know. And also 10 successful case histories from Australian naturopaths. I'm very proud of that. Their clients, their patients were really in dire straits. And within quite a short time, even sort of over a year ago before the Peter McCullough protocol came out, they were really bringing these people around. It was that they had some great results. So I'm so grateful to these, they're all women actually, but, and I won't name them because, it's not always the best to be named for this sort of thing, but yes, and a couple of them definitely didn't want to be named. So anyway, there we go. I can go on and on about this.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's a vast, vast.
It's huge. Yes. It is. COVID-19 to me is psychological warfare. against the population to make them basically scared of something that just isn't there, wasn't there, a boogeyman.
Yes.
We covered it from day one here, and they've never isolated what they say is COVID-19. So no one knows what it is, but
that's correct.
There's a lot of rabbit holes. I've been studying this for a long time as well. I think some of my first podcasts, I was talking to Dr. Rima Labo.
And yes.
A lot of these people, John Rappaport, and so many people, you know, because yes. I was like you, like earlier on. I mean, I was vaccinated as a kid. You know, Jim West.
Yes.
He's a great researcher. He's done a fantastic book on polio and DDT.
All right.
You know, poisoning. And this is something that's never looked at when people aren't feeling well or they're sick. We've got to sort of, the doctors don't look at, well, what's going on here? What were you exposed to? What's happening? It's like, it's always about selling vaccines and drugs. But of course, when I was a kid, I mean, when was I born? Around 72. So I think my brothers and I, we had the vaccines as you did.
Yes.
I think
absolutely.
There wasn't that many though.
No, there weren't.
Four or something like that.
It's a tiny little handful. Yes.
One of my brothers had a reaction, actually, a serious reaction
to being vaccinated.
It was the only one of all of us. And I remember my mum saying it was really frightening. And I remember he did have this mumpsy thing. I don't really remember having much really growing up, but I got to that point too. And I think what I'm seeing now, with a lot of young parents, you know, and there's definitely a baby boom going on. There's a lot of parents.
Yes.
They're quite young, actually, you know. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was young. You know, I was like crazy. And but you know, so many of these people we see now, they're like late 20s and stuff, they're having kids and they're getting married and they've got nice jobs and nice car. It's amazing, and that's what they want to do, and it's wonderful. And I speak to a lot of people, I meet them, and they don't know why really so much they don't want to vaccinate, but they just know they don't want to.
Exactly.
And we're seeing it now that a lot of people are just not vaccinating, like circumcision. Why would you cut off the most sensitive part of a boy's penis?
Don't even start me on that. I've actually mentioned that in the book in one of the pages. Yes.
And so they're thinking that, you know. Of course, we've done a lot of work here, I think more than anyone, on ultrasound technology in utero. This is this is another bag of worms, because we're looking at genetic damage.
Yes.
But with vaccines, I started thinking this many years ago, and that's when I started the podcast.
Yes.
And I started speaking to people. I'm thinking, well, why? Like, what is this? But with so many trolls and things going on, it confuses people, and they get baffled, and you don't want that. And so what you want to do is create sort of information, books, you know, these kinds of things, websites or whatever, where people who are genuinely concerned or worried, because they got a baby, you know, and they're like, should I take my baby down and get a needle in its arm? And they're concerned about it. And
so they should be.
Well, that's the thing. And that's what has been in my mind. People like us and our listeners, we've researched it so much and we understand, but for a lot of people out there, when I do these podcasts, I always think of them, and I think, you know what, there's going to be a lot of people who hear this podcast who haven't heard it before, and they don't know about this.
Yes.
And how can we get them information that's concise, that has a lot of links, that is bold, as you said, that will allow them to sit down and simply not only read it, but also say, mum, you know, like share with their parents, share with their grandparents or people at work or that they know. And they're not going to just poo-poo it and say, oh, conspiracy theorists, that they're going to actually pick it up and go, you know what, I can sit down and actually read this without being bloody bamboozled, because it's such a massive massive issue. But you're kind of the same as me there. I guess when you explain that, when you started looking yourself at vaccine, it's kind of like a well-oiled marketing scam, isn't it? It's all glam and get your vaccines and all of this stuff, and they put so much marketing
Yes.
Behind this product, because that's what it is. But then when you say, hang on, I'm going to open up the curtain here and just have a little peek behind and see
what drives
this machine. There's nothing there. You can't find anything.
That's exactly right.
What's going on?
There's nothing there.
And has just been injected into my body then?
Yes.
You can't tell me.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. For young parents, just thinking, there's a couple of really sad things. The first thing is that they are not given what's called informed consent, that they're told the pros and the cons. If they were, nobody would have it.
No one would have
any of them because they're not tested. Not a single one of them on the childhood schedule, as you probably know, is actually tested. But the thing is that I think we're reaching a tipping point very, very quickly. But the other sad thing is that, well, one is that if somebody who doesn't know what they're looking for just has a look online these days, all they're going to see is lies. It's just wall-to-wall lies, and so thick into Google. There might be something, you know, six layers down or whatever, you know. But it's very, very well hidden. But once you sort of open that little keyhole, if you like, and you peer through it, it's huge. It's an avalanche of information. And the other thing for young parents is that, or would-be parents, is that they're called upon to defend their decision. It's not enough to say I don't think I'll have a jab. I don't think I'll have my tongue pierced. I don't think I'll have laser eye surgery. That's, you know, if you said that, that's OK, that's fine. You know, you do you sort of thing, and you don't have to do anything. It's expected that. That it's almost in conventional circles, it's sometimes expected that this is your duty to do this dreadful thing to your child to protect everybody else, when in fact the original idea was that once you had this shot, which is mostly garbage that goes in, unfortunately, in nearly all cases, that you're supposed to be immune to infections and things, but that's not the way it works. And what I've done is I've summarized the wonderful, wonderful work of people that I trust, which isn't everybody speaking on in this area, and brought it all into a simple package that people can understand, and that you can either, if you've got it in hard copy, which people will be able to get in Australia, they can just sort of hand that over to somebody, or both books are now available on Kindle, so it's available internationally now. So vaccines, myths and facts, and the detox after COVID. So I don't know if you had a question, but I hope that's answered something. And I've got lots of graphs on this one, lots of independent graphs, because the people who we expected to do the research on this, and we've been paying for that research for like 50 years or whatever or more, have never done it. It's the vaccinated versus vaccine-free studies, the proper studies, have never been done for any single vaccine on the childhood schedule. And as we know, COVID wasn't tested properly either.
That's right.
You know, they're a very different story, very different sort of scenario. But in the end, it boils down to people trying to do us harm, unfortunately. That's a very big statement, but I think it's dawning on most of us that it's actually the truth.
Yeah, it's I don't know when it was. It was many years ago. Many years ago, I did a podcast with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny.
Wonderful woman. She's in the book. Yes, I've got a quote from her.
Yeah.
Well, what it is from now. She's one of the first pioneers of this. We all are sort of dragged into this reluctantly, but she's a real star in this thing. She's been on at this for many, many years.
Sure has.
Actually, I've got a little quote here if you want to listen.
She's
to
called
that.
It.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Over and over and over again.
Yeah, when I talked to her, that was so long ago. I don't know, even know when it was. But she said she was one of the first ones. Dr. Rima, who's, I have to give it to her, she's practiced drug-free medicine for nearly 50 years.
Wow.
And yes. You know what she told me before this, when this was coming out of China and this was going to...
Yes.
When all this was happening, she said she was one of the first people that told me that the vaccines will trigger the real pandemic. And yes. I didn't know what she meant, and now I do. Because, people are told this, you know, there's a pandemic coming, you have to get vaccinated. Same thing happened in the Spanish flu, which wasn't from Spain.
Yes.
They were told that you got to get these jabs. And then when they got the jabs, it made them sick. So the jabs caused the pandemics. But Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and that was when I was on with my dad, she said there were hundreds of these new generation vaccines in the pipelines back then.
Yes.
That they were coming down, and she knew about it. And I didn't know what she was talking about then. But then now with the mRNA vaccine, the mRNA jabs, I can see it very clearly. And what we're very concerned about is obviously how this is going to incorporate all medicine, and how this is going to also be part of the childhood vaccination schedule, that the so-called vaccines that we all know and grew up with are going to be a thing of the past soon, as this all changes into the mRNA tech.
Well, I'm an optimist, if you like. I'm doing my best here to spread this information as best I can, but I have a feeling that we are near a tipping point for all sorts of things very soon. And I have been saying this for a while now, for a couple of years. But
they're building those facilities, aren't they? You know, like they're building the facilities here to manufacture them.
That's what we're.
Yeah, you're kind of like, why? Yes. We don't want them anymore. Like most people have had enough, you know?
Yes. I do feel that people will. I think they're being pushed to say no almost. And this, I think, you know, I think that even stuff on the monkeypox thing is. I mean, it's just a joke. But most people now know it's a joke. Don't know that very many people will actually fall for that one anymore. And I like to think that that's where we are. And I do know that the take up of the childhood vaccines is dropping quite quickly. I did hear Del Bigtree saying last week, I think, that the vaccine hesitancy, or the people who didn't want the jabs or were looking more closely at it, as in the childhood vaccines, had reached 51%. So I think that, and there's so much information out there. Once you start looking through that portal or pulling back that curtain, it's vast, absolutely vast. And if there is anybody new there, apart from my wonderful books, of course, which they can read, but I've provided a portal into that space, where the amount of information on the damage that vaccines do, which you know is extensive, is documented, and there's stats on that. How, you know, the vaccine free. Are way, way healthier. However you measure it, they're so much healthier. It's like chalk and cheese. And that comes up in all sorts of different studies, independent studies done by stubbornly ethical humanitarians. Those are the people who do these things, often at the expense of, you know, at their own expense monetarily, but also at the expense of their careers and everything else. Yes, their practices, but it's amazing. And we also have depositions, which you may have heard of, by Stanley Plotkin's, like the grandfather of vaccines. He's got a 300 odd page book, Plotkin on vaccines. It's like the Bible of what they call vaccinology. And he was cross-examined by Aaron Siri, the lawyer, who's absolutely brilliant at this, and admitted that the vaccinated versus vaccine-free studies had never been done. And he actually spoke about this. Stanley Plotkin spoke about this in an article recently as well, just within the last few weeks. And his co-author Catherine Edwards also admitted under oath to Aaron Siri, who works with Del Bigtree and the ICANN network, that the studies were not even designed to work out if vaccines cause autism or not, which they do. About 95% of autism is vaccine damage. I don't know if your people will know that. My guess is they probably do. Yes, just looking for some stats here. Yes, I've got some Australian stats if you want them to hand. that's the reality of it. And of course, I feel as if I'm rambling here. I don't know if you want to interject at all. But yes, also apart from the autism, there's ADHD that is also very, very largely, at least over 90% vaccine damage. Then you've got asthma, eczema, anemia. I didn't know that one before, but that was found in a study by Dr. Paul Thomas. Ear infections, eye infections, respiratory infections, just a whole slew of ill health and misery stems from these things. So
it's really interesting. And Jim West, who's just absolutely fantastic. He's written I think the best books that you could find on ultrasound technology.
Yes.
And he found countries. There was one like Cuba that had 100% vaccination rate, but no autism. And when the ultrasound machines were brought in there for women to get the ultrasound done, the autism spiked. And he looked at vaccines acting as a trigger, like a toxicology thing, which is another way to kind of look at it. But it's just a toxic influence, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So the kids are being born, they seem okay, everything's okay, but that genetic damage is pre-laid, it's done. And they're being vaccinated and regressing into autism or any number of conditions and things. So it's a toxic thing that we just don't need. But these are things that we look at. But the toxic side of vaccines themselves, way back, is an incredible thing. I think, like, with the COVID. With the COVID mRNA injections and jabs, and we can see, you know, when all this was starting to be pushed, even the media called them jabs and shots. And I'm like, who wants to get a shot or a jab, you know, the way they were saying that, you know. But they knew, and they were covering it up the whole time. This was experimental technology Humans have never been exposed to this stuff before. Yes. So what a game changer the COVID jabs have been for humanity, because it's unknown territory that we've entered. And, you know, so many people have rolled up their sleeves. They've been given something we know so little about. I know a few ladies that are homeopaths, and they've had tremendous success with toxicology when you're looking at traditional childhood vaccines.
Yes.
Now they're looking into this, so it's been the whole COVID injection saga has been a real game changer for humanity. I think
it's woken up a lot of people.
I think it's woken up people. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It really has more than the other ones ever did.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. Because for the first time, it's not, or virtually anyway, it's not your little baby who can't speak, who can only cry, and who the doctor can say, oh, well, it's normal, or, you know, it's a developmental issue. You know, they're just like that. And the baby can't tell you what's wrong. It's grown people who can say, well, I was fine till I got this, and then now look at me, sort of thing. I can't walk and I can't get out of bed. And in fact, for homeopaths, some of them may possibly find a few clues in the book, because in fact she didn't mind, she was happy with me naming her. That's Patricia Vandenberg Smith. She and another one actually gave the remedies and their treatment sort of protocols that they used. So there's all sorts of starter points in the Detox After COVID book. It's very simple, but there's a lot in it, and a lot of I'm good on starter points, you know. And this book really is like, I've got a picture of a life belt in there. It's like throwing a life belt to somebody who's struggling in the water, sort of thing. It's like throwing them in the life belt and pointing them in the direction of the shore. Because a lot of people, I think, are still lost as to how to escape this. Homeopathy, in case there's anybody new listening to this, homeopathy is brilliant at helping the body to detox. It's as if it sort of seems to sort of give it a nudge. Oh, look, you've got that. There are some natural remedies that seem to be like that, that you just sort of put on and it's like, oh gosh, yes, oh, I can work on that. And the body sort of, you know, arranges itself to get rid of this stuff. Aluminium can be detoxed like that. They do have great, not guaranteed, but great results with the so-called normal vaccines. And this one, again, that homeopathy has been used by a couple of these practitioners to rid the body of whatever it was. Because these women have listened to the symptoms that the people were having and responded to those and treated those. And this has worked because, in the case of the COVID shots, we all know that they varied wildly one to another. We do believe that some people got saline or something. That's a belief. Some people got real hot shots and, you know, were out, you know, flat on the floor within an hour, you know, which is dreadful, dreadful. But most of the others they've had really good success with anyway, so I'm really happy with that. It's a fantastic thing to report. With the conventional jabs, shots, in fact Dr. Sherry Tenpenny spoke about this as well, but we've had there's a company in Italy called Corvelva. And they were commissioned by people who were wanted to know, independent people wanted to know more about the shots, and they gave them some files, injection, you know, vaccine files to analyze and see what was in them. And what was in them was nothing like what was supposed to be in them. There were none of the actual sort of elements of the infection themselves in some of them. It was basically like, oh, it's like floor sweepings, or, you know, just random stuff, a whole bunch of random toxins in these things. And so we never know. It's not like, because when you inject something, you can't taste it. It's not like a can of beans that you had, you know, you had one 6 weeks ago and now you have it again and it's just the same. Or your can of beer that you have, you know, one year or something. I have about two cans of beer a year. And then the same, you know, the next year, it's a bit more wine. But and then you have the another one the next time and it's just the same. It's not like that, because we can't taste it, so we don't know what's going in our arms at any particular time. But anyway, these homeopathy is brilliant at detoxing this stuff. But in the normal vaccine book as well, I talk about where to start the reversal process of reversing from vaccine damage in some form, how to spot it, how to start reversing, and there are no guarantees, but there's always some improvement. What else? How to protect yourself? Yes, well, there's a lot in them both, actually. So,
I've covered a lot here, the COVID response in Australia, which, you know, obviously went around the world. It was an unbelievable time in history for people in this country, especially around 21, and, you know, and how they treated people who didn't want the jabs. Under Barry Jekyll,
that, you know, that was horrible.
I remember, and how we weren't allowed out, and what the police did, and what they did in Melbourne. I mean, it was pure psych warfare and just terrorizing people to get a jab in your arm. And what we do know, what was very interesting to me, was we saw in America the Operation Warp Speed, but in Australia under Morrison we had COVID Shield, Operation COVID Shield, and they brought in a full bird military general, General Frewen, to oversee this. Of course, when that happens. So I've never seen.
I didn't pay any attention to that. You know, they had really the whole thing. Mainstream media very much. I did see on the various, you know, people reporting all the, you know, if somebody dropped with so-called COVID, and we locked, the one thing I do know is that we locked down over 14 so-called COVID deaths. 14. I remember that. I remember telling somebody, a little kid actually, because they'd closed off his skate park. And I said, you know how many deaths there were? 14. So if he took that in, but it sort of registered with me that that's what we'd done. We didn't really get any. I think in America they got something. Goodness knows what it was. Who knows what it was? I've got no idea. But that's the thing. When they were sort of counting, so-called counting all these deaths or cases or whatever it was, every, you know, it was like on the hour, you know, somebody fell over, then, you know, they were counting them immediately, you know, so that the figures were there at your fingertips every day with this ramping up the fear and everything. But now, what I actually monitored and have been monitoring for several years now is the death rate. And the death rate in 2022, after the jabs rolled out, was 20% higher than in the previous 7 years, 6 years, something like that. It was way, way higher. I think it's last year, 2023, I think it was 15% higher, the overall death rate. And that's one of the ones that I really do monitor. But the rest, I really sort of started to focus fairly early on the remedies, on what I could do to these, for these people, or to say. One of my friends was doing Forest of the Fallen, and I helped along a couple of times. But that really made me think, oh, my golly, you know, if somebody realizes what's happened to them and that they don't feel well, I've got nothing for them, you know. And that sort of sent me off finding what I could find to possibly help them. And, you know, these wonderful, wonderful naturopaths and homeopaths have come up with some great results for everybody, really. So, yes.
Yeah, I remember it was Mark McGowan in the Dictator in Western Australia. He locked down Perth for one case.
Yeah,
for like insane. 2 weeks, and then they came out, and it was some like kitchen hand guy, and they said, "Oh, they weren't sure." I mean, you just locked down 2 million people.
Yeah,
for like 2 weeks over one case. This is how bad it was.
At
the time, it really was bananas. And unfortunately, as I was saying, yeah, like when it became a military operation, we know it was. And yes. U.S. military operation. Yeah, people panicked. And there was a time there where a lot of Australians just were not, they just weren't buying it. And you know, we had a very low jab rate compared to other Western countries. But
wow.
Once,
yes.
We actually had the lowest. And I remember seeing those stats compared to Europe, America, UK, and everywhere, we had the lowest. We had one of the lowest in the world. And they were saying that it was because of distribution, you know. So they created this hype. They were saying, we just can't get the jabs out to as many people as we want, to kind of create people wanting more. But once that military operation started, and as I said, on many podcasts, they didn't go to war with us with bombs and bullets. They went to war against the people psychologically. And it was very, 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 very cunning the way they did it. And it was like a 24-hour campaign of get the jab, get the jab, get the jab.
You know? Yes.
And a lot of people, you know, I have family. I know people who have died. I know people who have had heart attacks. And at first, you know, months later, people were like, oh, I'm okay. Like, that's all just propaganda. And they were more likely to go and get a booster and stuff. But told them, and, you know, I told people it's a bluff. You know, I said, I understand it's scary, you know, like losing your job and everything. But they're bluffing you into doing something that you don't want to do. But it's up to you. You're in control of your life. And don't contract with these people, because that's what it is. They're scaring you into doing something, but you have to do it. If you go down to one of these places and you get an injection in your arm, you did it to yourself. And people are trying to say that they were forced. They forced us, but they never forced you. They used fear and propaganda to get you to do it to yourself. I tried to tell people, don't be scared, just call the bluff and hold your line. But I had my brother and stuff, and I know close friends, they just went, you know what, I want to travel, I need to work, I'm just going to go and get one, I'm just going to go and get two. It was like being tricked in some casino of the devil, you know. It was like,
I can't tell people what to do.
You know, when you go into a casino and you give up all your money and you lose everything, you know. I kind of
I've been in the casino hardly.
I felt sorry for people. I was like you. I wanted to tell them something. I wanted to help, but they went down and they got those jabs. And I didn't know what to say to them. I'm like, okay, if that's what you really want to do, it's your life. I can't boss you around and tell you, but it was a really complicated and harrowing moment for all of us, especially when you had loved ones and close friends and people that you care about who were getting them. And it split families up. It split communities up because people didn't want you around them or your kids around them if you weren't vaccinated and everything. Yes. It was really a challenging time for everybody, you know.
Yes.
But I think we're now at the end of it. People are starting to see and they're willing to open up and say, you know what, you know, I made a mistake and I want to get access to information to learn more.
That's why I did this, the second book, the
to try to help people.
COVID. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's really, really simple. I have a slightly different view on this. I think that it was disappointing for me that people like the doctors and like people in workplaces didn't just get together and just say no. If they'd got together and just said no, they would have been fine. They would, because they have the upper hand. The people who do the work actually have the upper hand if they stick together. But because they didn't do that or weren't able to do that, and the same goes for the doctors as well, because they didn't do that, to say, you know, to me, it's not fair to say, people had a choice. A choice is tea or coffee or, you know, broccoli or carrots. It's not, do you want to lose your home and your car, you know, and you know, your career and your home and your everything else and your livelihood and the whole thing? And that's not a choice. Or get this thing. It's not a choice. And I was in a very fortunate position, and it's often the older people who are speaking out most forcibly, because we didn't have very much to lose. I didn't have much to lose. I had a job that I sort of gave up partly along the way and everything. But I don't think that they forced anybody anyway. But it wasn't a thing for me, but it was, if you're in the middle of your life with a family and you work for, you know, whoever, a government or whatever, then the, you know, teachers or anything, then that was a horrific thing to have to decide. And
it's horrible what Daniel Andrews did. Didn't he? He told in Melbourne and Victoria, he told the teachers, like, you need to get at least one or two jabs to keep working. And they did. Horrific. And then he said, you need to get a booster now. It was amazing.
It's certainly evil. What I mean, we're describing this evil that has, you know, that's happened to people. And like I say, I'm just lucky that I wasn't tested in the same way, because if you're in the middle of life with kids and a mortgage and everything, and especially as a single person, they're vulnerable. They target with this whole thing. Whichever one you're talking about, the sort of normal ones or the other ones, they target the innocent, the trusting, and the vulnerable. And if you have debts and everything, as in a mortgage debt, we all know that's the, what's it called, the death clamp or something.
The death pledge.
Death what? Sorry, what did you say?
A mortgage is a death pledge.
Death pledge. Yes. If you got one of those, then you're not in the same position to just say, oh no, I don't think, you know, I'm not going to do that. And we do know plenty of people who were sacked.
I have family.
I mean the nurses and they're still
discriminating against them.
Yes.
Because they didn't do what they were told to get an injection in the arm at that time in history. So we're holding that against you like a bad credit card debt.
Yes. Yes,
you know, it's crazy.
It would have been unthinkable, really, 5 years ago. But here we are, you know. And what we have to do now is to actually pull together with those people, because they are our family and our friends and other people, and try and make sure that they know where to look for help, which is the purpose of that book of Detox After COVID. It's not much politics in there. There's just a little touch, but it's mostly just about, well, how do I get better now?
Can you detox from the tick in them?
Long term we don't know. Like I say, I can't give any guarantees. Nobody can. But the results, the 10 case histories that I have had people who were one of the ladies thought that the guy was going to was a woman. She was afraid she was going to die because the woman didn't want to go into hospital because of what she'd heard happening in the States and I believe here, with the remdesivir and the ventilators and all of that sort of stuff. She'd heard some of that and she didn't want to go into hospital. And my friend is listening to her describe what she feels is life threatening. My friend told this woman, you really need to go to hospital because people do die of these things, if they don't get help quickly. Anyway, in the end, she was able to turn her around. She found something in her cupboard, which is in the book. I'm not going to mention what it is here, otherwise. but it's a water treatment protocol thing that happens to work. And as it happens, and with this woman being at death's door, as my friend thought, she had no, it was, oh gosh, try this. Anyway, within 24 hours, she was a lot better. She was able to get up and have something to eat. And there are others. There are a couple of cases where people are so weak that they can't get out of bed, as in young people. These are young people. So they've had an amazing success. Now, how long for? What it's taken out or anything like this, I'm not sure. What I do believe is that if you're going to do live blood analysis, you need to go to a specialist for that, not somebody who's just sort of taken it up, which is, live blood analysis is where they actually look at your blood in real time. And I think that's I like that idea. I've had that done a couple of times in past times. But my naturopath friends tell me that it's not always easy unless you really specialized to do the slide properly and to get an accurate result and to really understand what you're saying. So if you're going to do that, it's probably a good idea, but go to an expert, somebody who does it all the time with specialist equipment. And the other thing that I'll say just on the top of my head is that the McCullough protocols, which you may have heard of, people may have heard of them, they are working. So Peter McCullough, who is one of the world's best known and most published heart specialists, he came out publicly nearly a year ago now with a protocol with natokinase, bromelain, which is from pineapples, and curcumin. So natural protocol. And he listed the quantities that he used and everything, and that is getting results. But sometimes you need you really need expert guidance of a naturopath, homeopath, whatever, because when you're sick, as people have been with this detox, with this COVID thing and after the jabs and everything, it can deplete your body of nutrients really quickly, so that you actually that they ask so many questions that they work out where your body is lacking in these nutrients and put those in as well. And in fact, Peter McCullough describes his protocol as a base protocol that you might add other things to. So that's one of the most promising things. And there's all sorts of controversy about what, you know, what's in the blood, what's this, what's that, but that appears to clear most things and sort of allows them to dissolve into a thing that can be dissolved by the body. As there are so many unknowns here, but the proof is in the pudding for these case histories.
There's some mineral protocols, isn't there? Like oxygen minerals and pure mineral sort of solutions to drink as well, that I know is having good effects on the blood.
All right. Yes. I put out a call to a lot of people, but I didn't get anything like that back. I think there'll be more and more. And in fact, that's why I listed the websites. There's the FLCCC and the Wellness Company, where Peter McCullough sort of is a part of that. Brian Ardis, World of Wellness with Dr. Ian Brighthope. He's in here as well. So if anybody is going to come up with something different, it's likely. World Council for Health, that's a good website as well. So that in that way, I've sort of covered what I can of future, future discoveries and things in this protocol, because there are people working all the time to try and get this better, to try and get people better and on the feet again.
It's a blood thing, because we know the nanotechs, it creates like a scaffolding. It's definitely because what I saw earlier on with all the injuries and things that were happening after the jabs, there were some people and doctors who came forward who were talking about the micro blood clotting.
Yes,
because they noted that people had blood clotting, but they also were noting that a lot of young people were out of breath and just not able to train or do things that they used to do. And they did your general blood tests, and then they had to start doing the D-dimer test.
Yes,
and they noted that they had these, you know, these micro blood clotting, at a very, such a tiny level. And and so I know that what's happening now and what I'm reading about, and there are people around who do the live blood analysis and they're offering protocols. It seems to be about definitely cleansing the blood those blood cells, because what we do know is, like, people had really awkward and off-kilter blood. And we know there's a lot of weird things going on in there, and they may panic, but they what I've seen recently, and there's people around doing it, there's ways to get your blood back into a nice clean mode, and I think that's at least a start.
Oh yes, absolutely. The blood. I think that's major, actually.
Do you think the
natokinase does that, and also
glucosamine maybe?
Sorry?
Does the glucosamine work? Or
look, I think I've got that listed on my list, I don't know the details of these things, and I haven't just
interesting.
I'd have to look at my book to see that one.
You did mention curcumin, which is an interesting one.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know that's very popular for, like, charcoal. They do say to do some charcoal, like maybe a couple of times a week.
I've got charcoal listed.
Yeah,
I've got most of these listed in the book. And a little, including the EDTA thing, just a word on that, and to say roughly what they did, and I can't what they do, and I can't. There's a few of them. Yes, activated charcoal. I got that in here, and what was the obviously the three main ones. Nattokinase seems to be one of the main ones that takes that cleans the blood. And I always forget which one's which. And the other one, I think that cleans the blood outside the cells. And then autophagy, which is intermittent fasting. That's really good for cleaning the blood as well, because it's I liken it to sort of when you, you know, if you run out of food in the fridge sort of thing, you eat what you've got left sort of thing, and you clear out the fridge and you know, give it a wipe down, and then you know, you go shopping the next day sort of thing. But it sort of clears it out, and that I think autophagy and intermittent fasting, I think it's inside the cells that clears out. So the two of them are really very valuable at clearing out whatever it is, you know, whether it's spike protein, excess proteins, whatever it is. But that's all I can say, that these Australian naturopaths who I know, they're friends of mine, are having great success. And so that's all I can do. This is the life belt sort of thing, and that's what I've been focusing on, rather than all the nonsense rubbish politics of it.
It was as we said, yeah, it was one of those things that people were rushed into.
Oh,
and terrible. You know, looking at, if I were to sort of get a snapshot of it, you know, I would say that, you know, I mean, I have I have people around now, I don't want to say anything about them, but, and I've spoken to some oldies, they get 6-7 boosters. They'll get the monkey ones, they'll get the flu shot. They're very happy to do so, and they've got no problem in the world. Like, it's just what they want to do. And that's fine. You can't change their mind, and that's what they want to do. But looking at the bigger picture of it, it seems like people were coerced and intimidated and bullied, and it was a very awkward moment. Yeah,
yes.
And they were pushed into doing something they didn't want to.
Yes.
And I think if you look at their stats, and 95% of Australians got the jabs, and 5% of us didn't. We don't know that.
I don't think it's anything near that. That's just a guess.
I think most people got one. I think a lot of people sort of got one and then they stopped. I think a lot of people maybe got like a reaction, or they just didn't feel well and they said, you know what, I'm done. And I think a lot of people just got one. But I do think that they, with what we know now, because what happened was it was so fast that it went into people. And then as we came out of it, we started finding out this incredible information about what it was, and that, you know, what went into people. And now it's just phenomenal what we've learned about this and what has happened to people.
Yes.
And I think most people will want, and I got to say this, you're going to have, if people out there have had these jabs, you're going to have to work to do this. You can't just expect everything to be done. You've got to look at the books, you've got to read, you've got to research, and you've got to do it. It's going to be hard work.
I think that's one of the big lessons, and I do say this in the detox book, that I think one of the lessons is that you have to take responsibility for your own health. You can't pass off that responsibility to the doctor, certainly a doctor who did that to you in the first place. But when you choose, I do tell people how to choose a practitioner, normally a naturopath, homeopath. But once you find somebody who will listen to you and who you sort of trust, who you get that they're sort of on the right page, as it were, I give some ways to sort of go about finding somebody to work with, then I think you should do what they say. But it will probably take amendments in what we eat. We all know, you know, it's very easy to slip into bad habits of eating, you know, things that we know we shouldn't be eating. We really have to be very careful with those sort of things, the seed oils and the, you know, none of that's doing us any good, the sugar and the seed oils and all the other things that we do that taste addictive. We really have to, you know, back off that and go organic and local as much as we possibly can, and get back to real food that our grandparents would have recognized and all of that sort of thing. So, yes, there is it is a something that you have to take responsibility for. Yeah. So.
That's right. You. You have to go back to the old saying, you are what you eat.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think that the thing is that if we look at the medical system and we look at virology and we look at vaccines and we look at the doctors and we look at the pharmaceutical giants and Pfizer and all of this, it's like a cult, you know?
Yes.
And people have given up. People have given up themselves to this cult.
Yes.
And I always say to people, why are you getting these jabs for? Why are you getting a flu shot every year? You have an immune system, you know. And if you look after your body and your immune system, your body's an amazing, amazing thing. And it will work it all out. And
this is
what we try to say to people so much on the podcast, that – you know, if you get sickness symptoms, it's generally just that you have too much toxicity and exactly. Your body needs to do its work.
Precisely.
And you need to rest and you'll be fine in a few days. You don't need to run to the doctor just because you've got the sniffles and get a flu jab injected into your bloody arm that you don't even know what it is. Just trust in yourself and let your body just... do what it does. Your body is miraculous. Our bodies
absolutely
are incredible. They're our vehicles in this life for our souls.
Absolutely.
And the pharmaceutical industry and the media and all these people, the governments, they take that away and they steer our belief system towards all of this, and we forget we even have a body.
Yes.
And we just let them take over everything for us, and we need this pill and we need that drug and we need that injection and we need all this and that for every little symptom. And it's like, when did you step out of the car and out of the driver's seat? You know, I mean, why aren't you in the driver's seat of your life? You know?
Yes.
I mean, the car's just out of control now.
I
just can't believe how people are, and we need to get back in the driver's seat and take charge of our own lives and stop living in fear.
And of course the naturopaths and the homeopaths and a lot of other modalities, you know, the bodywork people and chiropractors, all that, they work with the body to strengthen the body to be able to navigate life in an optimum way, and they're normally very good, you know, so many of them. I think that the medical industry, as I call it, does have a place, but that place is normally in an emergency or when something's broken. If you
that's right.
hurt yourself at work tomorrow and, you know, break your leg or something, then that's the time that that industry comes into its own. And I think say up, you know, on the snow fields and everything, they're very good at broken legs there. If you're going to break your leg, that's a good place to be. But for sort of systemic illness and so-called healthcare, which is you know, Australia's growth industry. I won't even get into that at this stage in the interview, but it's there's vast numbers of people employed in this industry. It's not the way to go. And the best thing you can do, almost apart from if you're going for a test, sometimes you can go for a test, and that's sort of handy sometimes, but they're not good at, you know, things like, well, the systemic things, diabetes, things that are a sign of your body being dysregulated, if you like, being sort of off kilter sort of thing. I hope that was clear.
Mm. That's why they have names for everything, you know.
Yes.
People are
yes.
being poisoned. Yes. And yes. then they, once they put a name on it, then that name creates belief.
Yes.
In the person that, oh, I've got this.
Just, I've just been that. Listening to Casey Means and her book, Energy, Good Energy. That's it. And she talks about that. And she was an insider in the medical industry in the States. And she talks about this thing being divided off, that as the medical people sort of rise up the ranks and more, I mean, you're earning telephone numbers at some stage in this climb up the greasy pole. You specialize more and more and more, so that you're thinking about the body as a whole less and less and less. And of course, as people may not realize, doctors don't study either nutrition or general health, you know, the well-being. It's not what they do. They sort of design, you know, the industry teaches them mostly to diagnose and to hand out, you know, pills and medication, a lot of which is based on, I don't know, just what artificial artificial produce things, you know, products and things. That's not to say that there isn't a use for some of them sometimes, because we did have a couple of them that were found to be useful in the COVID times, but for long-term use, not it's not something that's desirable at all, in my opinion. And I am not, this isn't their medical advice, by the way, at all. And I am not, I'm not medically trained. Let's put that in right away. So there's no medical advice here.
We always, in finishing the podcast tonight, we talk about your tour and stuff, but I always just say here always that, you know, we're living in a time when we need to navigate and we need to find our way through. And
yes.
If you get a sucker punch, you just got to get up and find a way to fix it and get through.
Yes.
Because once you lay down and rely on the system to do everything for you, then you're just dead meat.
Yes.
So, you know, you've got to get back up into your skin and be you and move forward and just yes. power forward.
Yes.
And it's challenging times. It really yes. is. I, you know, like I, obviously you and I and our, many of our listeners, we didn't have this stuff. I didn't buy into any of it. And never going to, but a lot of people, you know, they've got some lessons and to learn and they've got to pick themselves up. And there's, you've just got to navigate through this storm.
Yes.
And you've just got to envision that cleaner, better weather on the other side that we're all moving to. It yes. will get better. It's going to get better, but we're going to have to
I believe go
through a storm
yes.
To get to that other side. We're going to have to do this because, you know, we've made a lot of mistakes and we do things wrong, but you can't dwell on it. It's silly to think that this system around us that's doing all of this is just going to give up. They're not. They're going to lash out, and there's going to be a lot of stuff going on that we have to move through, because they're going to try to maintain that control and order, and it's all done through fear, and that's how they control human life, and they've always done it through fear. Fear controls you completely. Yes. And it's just like drowning, you know? If you're drowning and you panic, you're gone.
Yes.
You've got to be in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the detox after COVID. That's my life belt.
It's a scary thing, detoxing after COVID, or be willing to do it. But you know, people have just got to try it, give it a go, and read the books. You know, just get out there and give it a go. Don't worry about getting it done and what's happened to you. If you've had those jabs, you need to get on this very quickly.
Your blood might not be right. So, yeah.
There's stuff in you. You've got to try and work out a way to get this out. And it's better than not doing anything.
Yes. I was amazed, actually, reading these case histories, how quickly people came round. It was really quite striking. And again, there's no guarantees. But it was very, very heartening to read them all. Very heartening. So, there's definitely hope there. You don't have to just sort of put up with what's happening to you.
That's right. Our bodies are incredible.
Absolutely.
They're incredible.
I thought quite a bit about that, actually.
They really are
miraculous. Yes.
It's amazing.
We've got 30 trillion cells. 30 trillion cells. And here we are, you know, we're digesting our food and we're talking on this, you know, this device here, and we're looking around us and we're thinking about things, and all these cells are working in harmony. So our voices direct these cells as well, because they hear what we're saying. And one of the people that I mention at the end of the book is Joe Dispenza, who actually healed himself within a matter of weeks from a terrible accident. And of course, as many people know, has been teaching this, because he healed himself really with the power of his own mind. He envisioned, I think he was a chiropractor, and he envisioned each line of his spine, which was sort of really messed up in a bad way, imagined it being well and pain-free and all the rest of it, and got himself well really very quickly. So our mind is incredibly powerful. We are powerful creators. And I think that, if you've had the jab, now is a good time to become a powerful creator in all sorts of different ways. Get yourself some help. Find a person to help you, a naturopath, homeopath, whatever, and create a wonderful future for yourself. That's what I would say. And I've got a couple of websites. Yes, I have. Yes, they are websites. So where you can get the books and things. And I'm in Warhope near Port Macquarie tomorrow, and then I'm in Brisbane with Tricky doing the Freedom. Was it Revolution? People's Revolution on Saturday. Speaking in the Botanic Gardens there, and a few more later on, yes, including Nadine, your friend Nadine. So
that's right. Well, I would say just put all those links through.
Yes.
You can actually, Skype's really good, because you can, I've never been censored on there, but you can put through everything. You can use it as an email type service, but you can put all your links through there, links. They'll be clickable for me, and I can copy and paste them. So everything that you can think of, put it into maybe Skype is a better way.
Do you want me to tell you the websites now or not?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Do that so people can
go out
and find those.
You can get all the links from www.lightoftruths.net, www.lightoftruths.net. That's all the links. There's over 100 in the vaccine book and a little bit less in the detox book, but over 50 in that one, I think. And then to order the books, the best one is www.inhousebookstore.com.au. That's www.inhousebookstore, all one word, .com.au. And both books are available on Kindle as well. And if somebody would like one, you know, reads the book and likes it, if you would give me a good review on Amazon Kindle, that would be absolutely amazing. That would be just wonderful. And I would be very grateful for that. And it spreads the information then.
Oh, our listeners like to give good reviews, so we'll put that out too.
Well, good on them. Yes, they love the good books, on them. Yes.
Yes, Scott, I'm talking to you, buddy. He loves the books and to give good reviews. So our members, and they love reading the books.
Oh, that's
giving
that's,
good
that's
reviews
awesome.
Out there.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. We talk to so many researchers and authors on the podcast through the years.
Yes.
Just so many. Yes. I used to have a like a scrolling window on the website which displayed latest books, you know. It's just so important for people like yourself and others to be writing books and putting yes. them out. It is a good way. I'm a Kindle fan as well, just because of the space and the situation and stuff. I did get a Kindle reader a while ago, and I don't mind them. It's yes. a nice way to just download the books that you want. But a lot of our listeners love the physical books. Some of our yes. guests here, they'll do a signed copy for people and things like that. But it's people love their books, and
yes.
Some people order lots and sell them at markets and things like that. It just depends. But I really do feel now more than ever that people have really getting back into books and sharing them.
Yes.
Yes. They feel like maybe they're being censored online a little bit. And when you've got a physical book that you can share with people around
that's
you,
it.
it's a nice thing anyway.
With these topics, it's very important because say with the – or you're in different ways because you can just hand it across. You don't have to say to, especially here in Australia where it's easy, you know, if you order a book from America, it's like, you know, it's $60 or something at least to get it there. So it's a big cost to get it there. But in Australia, it's not difficult to access one. You just, and in the situation, say you want to, you know, influence a family member or something, you just hand it across. It's a complete thing from start to finish. It's a package. It's an easy tool for a hard subject. You don't have to say anything. You don't even have to hand it across when they can see you. You can just leave it there. Sometimes I've done that before. I just leave it in a place where I know people will see it. And then you've done your bit to pass that information on. It's all there. It's all complete, starting with the smallpox, with the vaccine book, and going on to the present day, whatever, and with all these links and references and everything. So they can discover these things in their own time if they're going to. But it's out of your hands then. You've done it. You've passed on that knowledge. So what happens from then is in their hands. And the same with the COVID thing, with the COVID detox. It's a different book for a different recipient in a way, but it's still complete. They can look at it in their own time and take from it what they want to, but it's a complete roadmap out of a situation that they might be in.
That's right. And anything you want to finish on there?
I think that's it. It's Adam. Thank you so much. Thank you for anybody who's still with us listening. I hope that's been interesting and maybe inspiring yeah. even. I don't know.
No, all good, and great podcast tonight with you, and we'll connect again soon when you have the time.
That's awesome.
To continue forward. I'm always here podcasting anyway. I'm always chatting away. Can't stop me.
That's great.
Listen to me. Shut up, Adam. I keep going. I'm like a thorn in the side. I just keep blabbing away, moving forward, doing the podcast. It's a good way to it's a good way for me to have expression and have a chat, anyway. And
yes.
It's a labor of love.
Good on you. It needs our voices. And we don't all agree on everything, but it needs us all to do this and to sort of push this thing over.
That's right.
Yeah.
All good, and great chatting with you tonight. And just stay there while I save my podcast file and one sec, and we will plug out for the podcast tonight.
Awesome.